It's something that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. We've been in John 15, which you can go ahead and turn to John 15. It's going to be our last message in John 15 as we finish up this talking through Jesus' illustration of the vine and the branches. But we've been talking about this idea of Jesus living within us. And it's through Jesus that we have our source for everything in life. So when we sing, yet not I, but through Christ in me, that's what we're singing, that Jesus Christ is within us and Jesus Christ is going to work in us to change us to become like him. The things that he calls us to do, we can't do without him, right? That's what John 15 tells us. I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do what? Nothing, right? So when we sing, yet not I, but through Christ in me, hopefully that's a prayer of yours, and hopefully that's a promise that you're holding to, that Jesus Christ will help you move forward and do the things that he's called you to do. Now, as we jump into John 15 this morning, I just wanted us to read these first couple of verses together as we think about this. You can look up here. Feel free to read along with me. John 15, verses 1 and 2. It says, I am the vine, true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. That's where we're going to be this morning, just these first couple of verses. We're going to talk about this morning the idea of pruning. And as I think back in my own life about this process of pruning for me, I my mind most recently goes to the last couple of years. You know, my plans, my hopes, and my dreams. When we launched out here to Kansas City, really in the beginning of 2024, all of the things that we had planned to do as a family felt like they were kind of falling through the cracks. Okay, we actually had moved to Kansas City for the purpose of loving and helping a church that wanted to grow and become healthy again. And when we landed in 2023, we had all of these plans and steps that we were going to do, but after 6 months, those steps did not happen, okay? So I was facing circumstances and trials and hardships that I actually never thought or expected to face, right? Actually, within 3 to 6 months, I was expecting to be serving at a church like ours, but it didn't happen. And so my thoughts started going to thinking through what were my expectations and why didn't they happen? What was God's plan in all of this? Why hasn't it worked out the way that I imagined? What did I do wrong? That's where my mind started to go. When things don't work out right, what did I do wrong? Is this punishment for maybe poor decisions that I made in moving to Kansas City? I was battling my faith and my trust in God and his plan for my life at this time. And it was interesting, during this time, I got hit with something physical, not just the battle going on in my mind. A health issue came up that I didn't understand. I was having fatigue, confusion, brain fog. Overall, if you think I'm already struggling in my mind, things have not worked out, and then all of a sudden I start having some struggles in my body, right? All of this was starting to add and kind of compound, right? I wasn't thinking properly because things didn't work out the way. Circumstances were causing some difficulty and hardship in my life, and then a physical thing came up to cause more difficulty and hardship in my life. Anybody ever been there before? Okay. I felt like me struggling with what did I do wrong or what was the problem that made my circumstances fall apart, right? Maybe God's punishing me, maybe God's doing something, then I start having these physical ailments that were affecting my thinking and my brain, right? And so I thought that maybe God was punishing me at this point for the wrong things that I did. I felt like maybe I was being attacked by Satan in my heart and my mind. I would wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning thinking immediately about the struggles, okay? I would wake up in the morning, early in the morning, not usually waking up, and I'd be thinking, what did I do wrong? I'm thinking, what do I need to do to fix it? How am I going to solve this problem? I can't handle this. All worries and fears, right? And it was a struggle to provide for my family. I'm thinking I had messed up. I can't figure this out on my own. What is going on? What's the problem? I would wake up thinking I'm going to mess it up even more. I'm going to lose it all. My heart would start beating fast. My mind would be swirling in the middle of the night. Essentially, I was waking up in the middle of having some panic attacks and anxiety attacks, right? And it got to a point where I got to the place where things were happening so much and I couldn't control my thoughts the way I needed to. I wasn't pursuing the things I should have, and I had to stop and ask for help. Finally told my wife what was going on physically and spiritually, and I said the words that I needed help. Of course, if you've ever been in a situation like this, can your family tell that things are going on? They can. But it requires you to swallow your pride and ask for help and to name it, right? And I had to do that. I couldn't hold it all together. We never can. We think we can, but our struggles often affect all of those around us. And because I talked to her, then I was forced to other places, right? And I was forced to people that could help me and encourage me and build me up and point me back to truth. It forced me to turn back to God. I had to do physical things like seeing the doctor. I had to go and figure out that health issue or how to handle panic attacks. My wife was very good at with that because she studied those things in counseling. It forced me to challenge my plan of attack when faced with spiritual battles. I had a mentor and my brother, spiritual person in my life that has helped me over the years, came along and pointed me in the right spiritual direction, right? I had to get the help so that I could physically calm myself down, so that I could focus my attention back on God, and I could run to Him for peace, for strength, and for clarity. Okay? And at first I thought all of these things were because of my stupid decisions, and maybe it was the punishment of God. But as we looked back, my wife and I would talk about it. We were pursuing God when we came here. We were trying to follow His leadership and His direction. And so, is He punishing us for that? And we had to seek Scripture, and we had to think what God was doing in it. And all of it, when it came down to it, God was working on me specifically, working on our family, but He was working on me to shape me into the man that He wanted me to be. And He still is. But I had to look at it different. God was pruning me. God was helping me to go through difficult things so that I learned how to handle those things biblically. So I learned to run to Him properly, to rest and trust in Him, to find Him, as we said in that song, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Was it me, that the person that could get the church or find the ministry? Was it I, the one that was going to make it all work out if I did the right things? He wanted me to understand that God was the one that had to do all of those things. And He wanted to use me, but I had to trust His process. And guess what? His process was 2 years of us waiting before we actually landed here and following in steps of obedience that were somewhat unknown at the time. Trusting Him. And I think at first I was starting to look at His pruning process as like a punishment, something that was because of things that I had done, almost that He didn't have my best interest in mind, like, you did something bad, now I'm going to punish you. But actually what it was restorative. What it was something difficult, something hard to shape me into something better, right? And we see this in life, right? no pain, no gain. Have you ever heard that before? Right? All good things in our life, okay, are oftentimes things that we have to work hard for. Okay? We want to make money. We want to have a good job. We want to take care of our family and provide for them. We want to lead our family well. Right? All of those things require hard work. And to become a branch on the vine of Jesus that bears much fruit, guess what? That takes some hard work. We have to go through some difficult things in order to find that we are going to bear much fruit. And so God the Father comes along in this pruning process as the vine dresser, and he takes a look at our branches, and he sees there's a little bit of fruit, but he's like, we can get some more. I need you to find more nutrients and more strength in the vine, in Jesus Christ. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut away some things on your branch that are no good for you, things that are unnecessary, things that are pulling the nutrients away from where we need to focus those nutrients, and I'm going to help you run back to the vine, find those nutrients, and then produce more fruit. It's a restorative process. God has our best interest in mind and his glory in mind when he takes us through the pruning process. God is showing mercy and grace and love to you as children, to me as well, as we go through things that are cutting, as we go through things that are painful, as we go through things that are stretching and difficult. So we're going to talk about this idea of pruning, okay? Kids, I want to encourage you as we go through this, okay? I want you to think about, and if you come up to me afterwards and tell me a way that you think God wants you to be pruned, all right? A way that he wants you to grow and change, then I'll have something for you after the service, all right? So we're going to talk about this pruning process, and we know that it is the grace of God, it is the love of God, it is the mercy of God. It's not a punishment because of our sin problem, okay? This is a restorative process. And how do we know this? Well, number one, I would say pruning is a process that is reserved for God's children. We already talked about this the last couple of weeks, right? Look at John 15 and verse 2. What does it say? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So what happens to a branch that produces zero fruit? It's cut away completely, right? It's gone. It later on goes on and says it's thrown into a pile and burned, okay? And then it says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So if a branch is producing some fruit, it is going to be pruned, okay? And we see throughout this that the pruning process and the fruit, a branch that has fruit, is proving that they are followers and disciples of Jesus. Does that make sense? He goes on and he says that, if you bear fruit, you are proving to be my disciples. This is Jesus talking to his disciples before he goes to the cross. And he says to them specifically, if you go through pruning, that's a sign that you are a follower of Jesus. Okay? God, the sovereign ruler of a creation, cares for you, loves you, and because you are his true disciple, he's going to come along and he's going to correct you, and he's going to steer you to where he wants you to be. So it's reserved for God's children. I would also say this, number two, pruning is a process that helps to shape the branch and the vine in such a way that it produces more fruit. What does he say in verse 2? Okay? Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear what? More fruit, right? Not the same amount, not less, producing more fruit, okay? So a believer is pursued by God the Father, and he goes through the pruning process so that he can produce more fruit. He's shaping this branch, removing things that are unnecessary so that you become a branch that does better in the next season, right? That improves, that is more like Jesus, that is producing more fruit. And he didn't say you weren't producing any fruit. He didn't say you weren't like Jesus and you weren't striving towards those things. He wasn't saying you're doing horrible. Now I've got to make you different. No, he's saying I saw some stuff here. This is good, but let's get it. Let's trim it off. Let's make it better. Let's focus our attention where it needs to be. So we see that is his main purpose as the vine dresser when he's pruning. Okay, is to produce more fruit. And if you know anything about vineyards or if you know anything about plants and fruit-bearing plants, when we do pruning, we're concentrating the resources of nutrients, right? So we're removing things that suck energy and limit growth. And we're directing our energy, the fruitful branches, so that they can produce more and better fruit, right? If you have a stalk coming off of your branch that hasn't produced fruit, or a weed or something that has kind of latched on and growing off of that, what's going to happen when springtime comes and all of those nutrients start to flow through the vine and the branch? What's going to happen? Nutrients are going to start splitting between those other pieces that are connected, right? If you have a dead branch latched onto yours, there's still going to be stuff flowing in there, and that's going to limit the amount that can go to the fruit-bearing branches, okay? So the vine dresser is like, we got to cut those away. And it promotes health, right? If you have a bunch of things that are growing off of you that don't produce fruit, or if you have pieces on there that are kind of messed up and diseased, is that going to help you or hinder you? It's going to hinder your growth, right? It promotes health. So removing things that are unhealthy, maybe that's sinful habits or bad relationships, things like that, we remove those to promote health. And then he shapes and molds the vine, shaping and molding all the branches on the vine for one unified goal and purpose, right? Removing everything around it that keeps the vine dresser and the harvester from getting in there and finding the fruit, right? Getting rid of the weeds, making a clear path, right? Pulling up the vines and holding them up so that they can produce fruit and they're not landing on the ground and all the bugs and everything down there catching all of the... He's shaping the vine for this purpose. Pruning is a process that is for his children. It's so that we bear more fruit. And it is a process that is born out of God's love and grace, not his wrath. He's not coming in and chopping things up because he's angry at you. He's coming in because he wants to clean you up and make you run to Jesus so that you produce more fruit. John 15:9, look at that verse. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. The Father has shown his love to Jesus Christ, and that is through Jesus Christ that we receive his love. And so this whole process is not for him to disconnect from his love, but because of his love. He wants us to grow deeper in his love. And so he's helping us trim and cut and do what is necessary in order to abide in his love and therefore produce much fruit. Romans 5:8 says that God shows his love for us by what? Dying on the cross for us, by giving up his life for us. Why would he do that so that we get grafted into the vine to then just pummel us, right? That doesn't make sense, right? This is a restorative process. God is showing his love for us. It's beautiful. It's corrective. It's helpful for us. Hebrews 12:6, it says, the Lord disciplines the ones that he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. If you don't receive discipline, instruction, and guidance from your father, the question would be, does he really love you? That's what Hebrews 12 tells us. If God comes along and corrects you and steers you in the right direction and tells you you're doing wrong, it's because he loves you and he wants you to go the other direction, right? We've all had parents in our life that do that, right? At the moment, do we like it? No, not usually. We don't like correction. We don't like discipline. We don't like any of that. But a father does it because he loves us, right? See, if we don't see pruning of God in our life as restorative, one where God has our best interest and his glory in mind, then when you find yourself facing pruning, facing difficulty, what will you do? You'll end up doing what I did for a time, running away from the vine, running to my own strength, trying to fix it, maybe trying to numb the pain and the struggle and the difficulty, trying to avoid it, right? I always laugh when my dad would tell a story about when he was in college, and he had a roommate that when there was a giant exam or a big paper or a test that was coming up, he always knew when that was happening because he could always find his roommate sleeping, right? He said that was his go-to to deal with the pressure. He would go take a nap, right? Isn't that what we tend to do sometimes? We just want to avoid it, right? We want to get away from it. Maybe if I disappear for a little bit, it'll just magically go away, right? But it doesn't. But see, if we see pruning as ultimately bad rather than good because it's hard, then we won't see the fruit in our life, and we won't see the process that God has planned for us. See, It's why they force us, and maybe we don't like it, why they force us in school to have PE class, right? Do those push-ups and sit-ups and all of those things. We hate them at first, but like if you consistently do them, what happens? You build muscle, you get better at them, and it's not as big of a deal, right? It's kind of the struggle that a doctor makes you go to rehab after you injure yourself, right? And they make you do exercises and all of these things, and you hate it. It's painful at first, right? But what is it doing? It's hard, but it's good for you. They know that you need to build back those muscles in order to be back healthy again, right? To use that part of your body well again. It hurts, and it can easily be viewed as negative, but for those that have endured it, those that have powered through those kind of things, through the pain, they've tasted the fruit of success, right? You may have all of those kind of experiences in your life. You may have seen it happen in someone else. You see, God, when he prunes and puts us through hard and difficult things, he is doing it for our good. He's showing us mercy and grace and love so that we don't fall back into what we used to be, but we actually become what he wants us to be. Hopefully you understand that. None of us are there yet. We haven't made it. We haven't arrived. We're not. All of us, no matter what age we are, no matter what level we are in our relationship with God, we have some pruning that needs to take place because we're not fully like Jesus yet. So what does this look like in our lives? And I'm going to give you four things that we can see the pruning process. Number one, I think we see the pruning process take place through his revealed word. So number one, through his revealed word. As we get into God's word, which has been written for us, right? As we get into this Bible every single day, it is the words of God that he has for us. The Bible tells us that we have everything that we need here to grow and live the way that God wants us to live. That's what John 15:7 says. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. We spent some time on that, didn't we? Let the words of Christ abide in you. How do we abide in Jesus? We get to know him through his word. And Colossians 3:16, what does it say? Let the word of Christ what? Dwell in you richly. The same word as abide. Let the word of Jesus dwell in you. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. What is he saying here? Paul is saying the more time you spend with God's word, the more it will correct you and steer you and prune you and show you how you can be the man of God or the woman of God that he wants you to be. Are you with me? Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces to the division of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him of whom we must give account. You know what he's talking about? God the Father, the vine dresser, sees it all. And you know what he has done? He's given you his word so that it can show you what he's seeing. So that it can pierce to your heart and go deep into your mind and help you to see that we're thinking wrong and we need to correct our thinking. We're pursuing and loving the wrong things and we need to love him more, right? That we're not resting and trusting and relying on him. The Bible tells me that, and so I need to pursue Jesus more and abide in him more. That's what God's word does. As we read it, as we study it, as we meditate on it on a daily basis, God, I believe, uses his Holy Spirit, which is in us, to speak to us and to reveal to us. Have you ever been in God's word when you're opening it and you're like, whoa, I've never read that before? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Why did you just realize that right now? Because he wants you to think about that right now. He wants you to meditate on that right now. Have you ever been reading and it's like, wow, that was convicting. I need to do that. I am not doing that. My life does not look like that. It should probably look like that. Have you ever had that occur to you? Wow, that's hard. I don't know if I can do that. You know what that is? It's God's word. Speaking through his Holy Spirit in your life. That's a sign that you're a follower of Jesus. This is what God's word does for us, and as we do this, We listen to God's word and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. What should we do? We should start applying it in our life. We should start making some changes. That's God's pruning process. That's an easy form of God's pruning process. Let me just tell you, if you read it and you're like, oh, I should do that, and you start doing it, great. Guess what? You didn't have to go through a lot of struggle that might be coming later on to help you get there, because you're listening and God's starting to move through that listening and you just obey. I've told my kids before, life is pretty easy at our house. If you just simply follow our directions and obey, life will be pretty easy. Have I ever said that before, Emmy? Yeah, I've said that before. When does life get hard? Right, it does. For all of us, right? Not just kids, right? When we don't listen and follow directions. So God's word is here to say, hey, listen, follow my directions. This is where I want you to go. So let's do that. And that's an easy form of pruning in our life, right? David... A good illustration for us is David. David, he says this in Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. David himself says, how do I do what God wants me to do? How do I keep my heart clean? He says, by meditating and memorizing and focusing on God's word. Because what does that do? When we do that, Holy Spirit uses it in our life and we start to make changes. That's number one. Number two. Not only God's word, the revealing of God's word as we spend time with it, but number two, asking through prayer. How does God delight to prune us and shape us? I believe asking through prayer. If you look at John 15:7 again, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then what? Ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Or it will be done for you. So immediately following the challenge to allow God's word to live in your life, he tells you to pray. Right? And it's what I talked about before. If we are regularly spending time in God's word, I encouraged you guys to write down the things that you're learning, the things that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, the things that get your attention while you're reading, right? And then those things, we meditate on them, we think about them, then we pray those to God, right? The things we wrote down, we pray them to God. Or the things that you're meditating about, pray those to God. And you know what? If we're praying scripture to God, do you think that aligns pretty closely with what he wants for your life? I would say so. We're praying scripture. Lord, man, I just realized this morning that I need to be, you know, David just said, I have stored up your words in my heart. I read that this morning and I realized I don't store up your words in my heart. Lord, would you help me to have a passion for storing up your words in my heart? I'm not sure what that looks like. Maybe that's memorizing scripture. Lord, would you help me memorize some more scripture? I'm going to memorize actually that verse that I just read today. I'm going to memorize that. I'm going to memorize those two verses that David just gave in Psalm 119. I'm going to memorize that today. Lord, help me to do that. Help me to remember it. Help me to think about it throughout the day. Do you see how we just prayed what we learned in scripture? Right? It's pretty basic, but like we asked the Holy Spirit for help. Psalm 51:1-2 says this. This is David again. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David here goes to the Lord and he asks for the Holy Spirit to reveal to him places that he needs to change and grow. He says, I don't know all of the things. I'm blind to some stuff. Lord, will you please show me? People are getting mad at me. I don't know why. Can you please show me where I'm going against you? Right? Things are falling apart. I don't know why. Would you please show me if there's a wicked way in me that is leading me towards that? Lord, open my eyes to see my sin. I mean, think about this. Have you ever asked yourself, what is that sin that really has a hold on me? Pretty much everybody has something that just, it's a real hard struggle, right? Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit what that is? What's this blind spot, this thing that has a hold of me that I don't like to let go of, that maybe it's a habit, it just keeps coming up. It's one thing that you just have a tendency to fall into. You stop and you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you reveal to me what that is? And if you are a true follower of Christ, I believe the Holy Spirit will reveal to you wicked ways that are in you, reveal to you sin in your life, ways that you are not pursuing him like you should. And it'll oftentimes be immediate. Oftentimes it'll occur to you. Maybe after you read and you prayed that prayer, you'll be going about with your business and just kind of thinking through the day, and like things will pop in your head and you're like, oh, that's not good. You pray and you ask God for help with that. That's him answering that prayer. Reveal to me. And what do we do when we hear that, when we see that, and we've given that to God, we start to change it, and we start to discipline ourselves to make it different. Maybe we ask somebody for help to help us to do those things. That's what David was doing. He said, prune me, dear Lord. He says, shape me. I don't know where I'm a mess. I need the vine dresser to come and to shape me and to cut away. Please help me do that. And then we can see in David's life that he would apply that and he would change. See, the Holy Spirit is searching, and you ask him to search and find all the stinking weeds in your life, the sin, the time wasters, the good things that are sucking out your heart for the Lord, and lead me towards you, Jesus. Help me to remove them. Help me not to be blind to them. Help me to work to change. Lord, please prune me, change me, make me like you. When was the last time you prayed that prayer? I don't know where I am a sinner. Lord, make it obvious to me. All right, number three, third way of pruning is the one we often think about, through circumstances, trials, and hardships. Circumstances, trials, and hardships. John 15:12-13 says this, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus here says, I want you to love like me, and how are you going to do it? You're going to have to give up your life for others. Does that sound hard? That sounds hard, right? So here he's kind of giving them a taste. We talked about this before. He's saying, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go lay down my life for you. And then once you realize that and you understand the whole grasp of that, I want you to understand that's what I'm calling you to do. Romans 5. Go ahead and turn to Romans 5. I think we should go there together if you have your Bibles. Romans chapter 5 for this one. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, right? So we've been made right. Because we've put our faith and trust in Jesus, we've been made right with God through Jesus Christ. We've talked about this before, right? And because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So does that sound punitive? Does that sound like punishment? No. Okay, peace. We have peace with God. We're made right with God. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Grace, does that sound like punishment? No, it's not, okay? And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Does that sound like punishment? No, we're rejoicing, we've got grace, we've got mercy, we've been made right, we have peace. Are you with me? This is all good stuff, right? Then it says, look at verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our what? Somebody say it for me. Sufferings. Hey, he just listed a bunch of good stuff, right? What are we talking about here? Sufferings. Knowing that suffering produces what? Endurance or patience. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. What is he saying here? You are going to go through suffering. You are going to go through difficulty. And the purpose is to that suffering and that difficulty is going to produce an endurance and a patience. And that endurance and patience is going to produce better character. What is character? Character is the ability to choose better what is right, correct? Okay? You're choosing better what you're supposed to do. And character, if you are patient in suffering and you're starting to choose what is right better in your suffering, then that you see that, guess what? I can now, wow, God is working. I went through something difficult and I realized that I could endure it. Does that help you for the next suffering? It does, okay? I can tell you, I went through waking up at 3 a.m. and having some anxiety, and now I know what to do. Will that help me endure a little bit better? It will, okay, if it comes up again, because it probably will. And because now it shaped me in that moment where I was forced to go to God's word, I was forced to go to him in prayer, I developed some skills at that moment. So what did that? That endurance produced what? Character. Me knowing what to do in that moment. Are you with me? So now I'm now even more prepared. And so when I face a suffering, it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, but God has shaped me through that suffering so that now I have hope. In the middle of that suffering, when it's hard, I'm hopeful that God's doing something in me because I looked at the last one and guess what he did? He did something in me. It produces hope. And guess what? That hope does not put you to shame. It also, what it means is like it doesn't disappoint you. The hope does not disappoint you. What does that mean? It's the idea, I have hope that God's shaping me and he's got something better for me and he's not going to disappoint me in that. That's an actual promise. That's an actual truth. That's an actual hope. And he will deliver on that hope. So it's not in the middle of it. I'm not sure what's going to happen. You know, this is God punish me. This is all horrible. This is bad. No, he's producing in you so that you bear much fruit. David proclaimed this in Psalm 57. He says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. Till the storms of destruction pass by. Did you hear that? He said, my soul is in the midst of lions, in verse 4. I lie down amid fiery beasts. the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. But my heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. David was actually in this psalm, was in the cave hiding from Saul because Saul was seeking out to kill him. And in the midst of that, he says, I'm being hunted, help me. And he turns to God and he rests and trusts in him. In the midst of that, he ran back to God, because God was working in him to change him. Final thing, number four, is I believe he prunes us through loving discipline and consequences of sin. We already mentioned Hebrews 12. It says, a father loves us and shows that love sometimes in discipline and correction. It says, the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son. And he says, actually, in verse 12 of Hebrews, that same passage, verse 11 says, For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Have you been there before? At the moment, discipline seems painful and unpleasant, but later, he says this, later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those that have been trained by it. God shapes us sometimes through his word. He shapes us through his Holy Spirit as we pray. He shapes us through difficulties and hardship, but also he shapes us by consequences and correction and discipline because of sin. You see, in Psalm 51, David exclaims this. If you know Psalm 51, it's a psalm where he is expressing his sinfulness and his guilt and his shame after his sin with Bathsheba. If you remember how that story goes, he committed sin with Bathsheba. They ended up having a child. He ended up murdering Bathsheba's husband to try and cover all of that up. And the kid ended up dying. That was one of the consequences of his sin. Whole story there. And he goes almost a year without dealing with his sin. Okay? Can you imagine that? Committed adultery, a lot of deceit, a lot of lying, committed murder, all of these things, and then he goes a year without dealing with his sin. And Nathan the prophet comes to him and proclaims to him in a very powerful way, you're the man that has sinned, and this is the reason why you've had so many issues and so many consequences. And he said even more consequences are going to come because you've turned your back on the Lord. And here is what David said. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. What does he do? He runs to God for mercy. He recognizes, he names his sin, he sees it, he names it, he asks God for forgiveness. Then he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. If you remember, when we talked about pruning, we talked about it can also be described as cleaning and purging. It's an idea of removing what is bad so that you can have more good, right? And that's what he says, purge me. Then he says, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my transgressions. Create a clean heart in me, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me with the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. What does he want? He repents of his sin. He says, I recognize it. I need you to forgive me, but I also need to turn from it. I need to stop doing these things. I need to head this direction, and I need your help to be able to do it. He starts applying it in his life. Do what you need to do, God. Help me to change. See, this is what God's trying to do in our life. He's cutting away in all those different ways, and if we're listening and paying attention, we recognize that it's restorative. And what that does with the vine and the pruning process, if you go back to how the vine works, right? It actually, the vine goes into a dormant period, okay? When the season is over, after everything's been harvested, so that the roots can go deeper into the ground and the nutrients can be stored up, right? And so it's the nutrients aren't needed up further in the vine and the branches. And as those nutrients get built up in the ground and in the soil, all right, the vine dresser comes along and he prunes and he cuts away all the things that aren't needed, aren't necessary, the things that are diseased, the things that are bad for it, which is what he's doing to us, right? And then when that season comes back, right, when spring starts to come, the branches have spent their time resting in the vine and getting closer to the vine and getting closer to the roots so that when that season comes, all those nutrients come out and go exactly where they need to go to produce even more fruit. This is what God's doing in your life. You may be going through a dormant period, a struggle, a suffering, a painful time, something that is hard, but know that God is working in you to cut away, to make you more like him so that as he does that process and those nutrients come through, you're going to be ready to receive them and you're going to be producing even more fruit than you ever did before. Isn't that a beautiful truth? This is what God the Father is doing in our life. So today, as you think about this pruning process, I want you to run back to Jesus. At the end of the day, it's not about, oh, what is coming? What is God change? What is the suffering that I'm going to go through? All of this, but it's run back to Jesus. Run back to his grace. Get into his word. Be seeking him in his word and making changes as you see them. Be running to him in prayer every single day, asking him to change you. When you face that trial, that difficulty, run back to him. Look to his word, asking him for strength. Show me how I need to change. Work, Lord, in my life. Help me to abide in you. Help me to abide in your love. Help me to love like you and live like you. Prune me, Lord. Make me more like you.